Well, you're welcome back to Westside Baptist Church this morning. Both this Sunday and next, we're going to consider two songs that come from the Gospel of Luke. The song of Zechariah this Sunday and the song of Mary next Sunday. Graham Scroggie calls these songs the last of the Hebrew Psalms and the first of the Christian hymns. They draw on the language of the Old Testament, so they sound like the Psalms. And yet they lead us into the New Testament, pointing us to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1 and verses 68 to 79. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the land of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. My very first pets were two goldfish called Calamity Jane and Flash Gordon. One was named after the Doris Day character, the other after the hero of one of my favourite Saturday morning children's programmes. Calamity Jane was always getting up to mischief, while Flash Gordon just zoomed and zoomed around the goldfish bowl at incredible speed. Anyway, the villain in Flash Gordon was someone by the name of Ming the Merciless. Well, the name says it all. You didn't want to get caught by Ming the Merciless because, well, he had no mercy. He took pity on nobody. It didn't matter who you were or what you had done, if you were friend or foe. If you found yourself on the wrong side of Ming the Merciless, there was one thing you could be certain that you would not receive. Mercy. Well, in this song of Zechariah that we've read this morning, Zechariah points us to someone who is the exact opposite of Ming the Merciless. It is God the Merciful. You'll remember that there was some debate about what John would be called. An angel told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth, though well beyond childbearing age, would have a son, even giving him the name of the child, John. But Zechariah did not believe what the angel had said. He was struck dumb, and so he remained until now, until John was born, and the time came for John to be circumcised and be given his name. Everyone thought he should be named after his father Zechariah, which means God remembers. But God had already provided the name of this child, John, which means God is gracious, or God is merciful. Twice in his song, Zechariah refers to the mercy of God. In verse 72, God's actions are to show mercy to our fathers. And in verse 78, they are because of the tender mercy of our God. In contrast to Ming the Merciless stands John, God the Merciful. The name says it all. And in his mercy, God puts into action his rescue plan. A plan to rescue his people from those who hated them and had oppressed them. We see that in verse 71 and 74. Zechariah, as a first century Jew living under the oppression of the Romans, seemed to understand this rescue as primarily political in nature. He talks about salvation from our enemies and from the hands of those who hate us. But this rescue is not just political. Political freedom would mean religious freedom, the ability to serve their God in the land that God had given to them. Obviously, Zechariah's vision is limited, but he does understand that with the birth of his son, God's rescue plan is being put into action. This rescue plan had been revealed long ago. God had spoken of it, verse 70, through the holy prophets long ago. He had sworn an oath to Abraham, verse 73, and now he was remembering his covenant, verse 72. These promises of God had raised expectation that God would come to the rescue of his people. You remember in the Garden of Eden, God had promised that one of the seed of the woman would come who would crush the serpent's head. God had promised to Abraham that he would make his descendants into a great nation and that from his seed all nations on earth would be blessed. Later it would become clear that this promised deliverer would come from the line of Judah, would be a descendant of David, would be born in the city of David in Bethlehem. All of these things had been revealed long ago. This rescue plan that had been revealed long ago was to redeem us in Jesus. Zechariah says in verse 69 that God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A descendant of David was coming who would be the promised Saviour. The horn was a symbol of strength. It was that part of the animal with which they both defended themselves and attacked their enemy. And this descendant of David would come to the rescue of God's people, attacking and destroying their enemies, and that saviour was Jesus. You remember when the angels appear to the shepherds? This is the very news that they bring. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In fact, so certain is this rescue, this redemption, that Zechariah speaks of it as though it has already happened. Verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. God's rescue plan had been revealed long ago, and the plan was to redeem us in Jesus. This was all of God's mercy. God had come to redeem his people, not because they deserved it, not because they had done anything to warrant it. God had come to redeem his people because God is merciful. And the redemption that God offers us in Jesus is not because of something we have done, something we have done to warrant it, but only because God is merciful. But what was God's purpose in redeeming a people for Jesus? It was for righteous service. God's rescue plan revealed long ago to redeem us in Jesus is for righteous service, that we would serve God in holiness and righteousness. Zechariah sings of this rescue, that it was to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Don't people only serve God because they fear God? Don't people only obey God because they fear his judgment? Well, not at all. Zechariah sings here about a service to God that would not be motivated by fear, but by thankfulness for God's rescue. Now, the motivation for being good is very different in that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. In fact, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Why be good? Well, we're told in the song, because Santa is coming, and if you haven't been a good boy or girl, you won't get any presents. Well, that is unholy service. That is unrighteous service. It's only behaving a certain way because we want to receive certain things. But this service that Zacharias sings about, it would be holy. It would be righteous. It wouldn't be because we're trying to earn something from God or get something from God. It would be simply and only because we love God as a result of all that God has done for us. Because God has shown us mercy to those who have not been good and so have received what we didn't deserve. That is the true Christmas message. God put into action a rescue plan that was revealed long ago to redeem us in Jesus for righteous service, and all this because of the tender mercy of our God. So where does John fit into this rescue plan? After all, this is a song that his father sings when his son is born. Where does John fit into this rescue plan? Well, John is God's humble prophet. Isn't it interesting that even at his birth, John is the child in the background? It's hard enough growing up in a family where your parents are always talking about one of your siblings, or all you hear about is what your cousins have achieved in life. But John has only been born, and his father is already preoccupied with another child, a child that hasn't even been born yet. Zechariah has just got his voice back. He bursts out in song, praising God, not for his own son, but for somebody else's. John only gets a mention about 2/3 of the way through the song, and even then it's only in relation to this other child. Imagine your father is more interested in the birth of someone else. You see, even from his birth, John is in the background. But that's a role that John would gladly accept, because like his father, he knew the importance of this other person. When Jesus stepped out into his public ministry, John would say, "He must become greater, I must become less." John's purpose was simply to prepare the way. That's what Zechariah says in verse 76. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." We see here just how well Zechariah knew the scriptures. The last of the Old Testament prophets, Malachi, had promised that the Lord would send a messenger who would prepare the way for his coming. The identity of the one who was coming couldn't have been any clearer. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, "The Lord you are seeking will come to his temple." The one who was coming was none other than the God who owned the temple in Jerusalem. Is it any wonder that John was happy to stay in the background? Because this other child was none other than God himself. John knew his role. He was the humble prophet preparing the way for the Son of God. And he'd prepare the way by preaching the message. Here's how Zechariah puts it in verse 77, "to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins." John's role is that of the humble prophet, who has nothing to say of his own, but only deliver the message that he has been given, a message of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So John would begin preaching at the River Jordan. He would call people to repent of their sins, to seek the forgiveness of the Lord, to be baptized, preparing themselves for the coming of the Lord. And when Jesus would come before John to be baptized, John would point to him, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. John was this humble prophet preaching the message of salvation and forgiveness that could be found only in Jesus. John would point to the true light. Maybe it has been your experience that someone mistakes you for someone else, and you have to say, "No, I'm afraid not. You've got the wrong person." Well, that was how John spent much of his public ministry. Later, Luke tells us in chapter 3, verse 15, the people were waiting expectantly and wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. And many times John had to say, "No, I'm afraid not. You've got the wrong person." In that wonderful prologue at the beginning of John's Gospel, we are told of the role of John. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John was the humble prophet pointing to the true light, Jesus himself. Zechariah sings here in verses 78 and 79 of the rising sun who will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. John was not that light, but he pointed to that light. Jesus was the rising sun who would come from heaven. And into this dark world, he would shine a heavenly light. He would come to those over whom the shadow of death hung and instead guide us in the path of peace. Why? Well, not because we deserved it, but because of God, the merciful. Because of the tender mercy of our God. God's rescue plan had been put into action. This rescue plan that he had revealed long ago to redeem us in Jesus for righteous service. Why? Because of God, the merciful. Because of the tender mercy of our God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is merciful. We thank you for the tender mercy of our God. We thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. In fact, you did for us the very thing that we did not deserve. You sent your Son to be our Savior. You sent your Son to redeem us from the punishment that we deserved. And so, Father, we thank you that he came into this world that he might take our place, that he might take the judgment that we deserved upon himself so that we need never have to. Well, Father, we pray then that you would fill us with that right response of love for him and faith in him, that we would desire to serve him all of our days. And we pray that over this Christmas period you might fill our hearts anew with a love for the Lord Jesus, that we might want to serve him and follow him. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.